Hey guys, Footy Focus Podcast, episode 17. We are recording on Wednesday, 10th of August, and joined by my co-host, Shahan. How are you going?
Yeah, good, Chanaka. Another big week of footy.
Off-field stuff too, but...
Yeah, so only a couple more rounds to go, so it's really, really heating up. So I think... Do you reckon there'll be any more changes to the eight?
Just quickly. Nah, I think it's... I think Bulldogs will make it, and I think Carlton won't.
Okay,
I think that's
probably
the only change.
I reckon even that's unlikely, but it could happen. So, if anything, that's the only change that'll happen.
Yeah, I can't see the Saints make it, and yeah, Gold Coast are two and a half games out now.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, we'll get to the talking points first with what broke last week, well, end of last week, with the Adelaide Crows 2008 camp... what do you call it? Issues?
Or? Yeah, this just keeps going. So I think Betts had come out with the book the day we dropped the pod, but there was still a bit to play out. And since then, Josh Jenkins and Bryce Gibbs have spoken out. So Josh Jenkins was similar to Betts, where he said personal information that he disclosed to council was used against him in camp.
Like, so you have some, you know what they were? Were they revealed? Were they?
Yeah, so Betts revealed... last Wednesday. So one of the things with him was he was raised by his mum, not his dad, and one of the insults thrown at him was because you were raised by an only parent, you're going to be a shit dad. And he's obviously, you know, father of I think five now, so I think that's the thing that upset him the most. And there were some Indigenous cultural things that went on that wasn't right. And I think Josh Jenkins too, like, he was raised by his non-biological foster parent, and that got thrown back against him too.
Yeah, and this information, they had to disclose this before the camp, right?
Like, well, they didn't have to, but they were told to give the background.
Yeah.
And they both told the counselors not to use that information, and it was. So
breaking a contract or...
Yeah, confidentiality, yeah.
Yeah, like, that's... It's not good, is it? Like, and surprising how it wasn't... They weren't held to account when it happened. It's now 4 years later.
Yeah,
and only now they're getting sort of...
Collective Mind, they pretty much sued Sam McClure and Caroline Wilson into the Age, giving them a settlement because they were going to sue them for defamation. So they got a settlement pretty much saying nothing went on, and now it's come out they have. So I'm not sure what happens to Collective Mind. They got cleared by WorkSafe South Australia. They've pretty much said they've already investigated. But the AFLPA and AFL are going to now reopen the investigation, which is probably fair enough.
Feels like they're getting... They're not, like, liable because what they did maybe wasn't illegal, but...
Yeah.
We know that everything... in Australia, like, not everything is sort of above board, even though it can be legal, right?
Yeah, I think according to Workplace, they say they probably didn't break any rules, like you said, but there's definitely talk of a class action. I think there's a lawyer that went on the radio the other day that represents a few of the players. I think it's 14 that he needs to do that class action. So there's definitely going to be more players speaking out. Bryce Gibb pretty much said he should have spoken out against it. He was still new to the club, so he felt like it wasn't his place. But I think everyone at the Crows from that time has been moved on, like Pike, Chapman, Fagan, Burton, Camporeale. I think Ricciuto is probably the only one still there, and I think that's why he gets talked about a bit.
Do you think he should move?
Probably. I think anyone that was in a leadership position there at the time should go. Because, there wasn't just... people ticking off on the camp and not and letting continue when it started crossing lines, but there was a huge cover-up too because the SA media, I know this is a Port supporter, they're very Adelaide based, not Port based, and a lot of them pretty much said there's nothing to see here, and a lot of those comments have been replayed, and it looks really bad on those people. So
one of the points was to make them more resilient and more manly and all this sort of stuff. So they're pretty bullshit.
Betts made a good point. Like, their coach, Phil Walsh, was murdered. They made finals 2 months later, made the grand final the next season or the 2 seasons after that. So they're pretty resilient. They had one bad day. Mm-hmm. That team, Richmond, ended up winning up 3 flags. I did want to ask you about Don Pike, though. He has been talked about as getting a senior gig again. Do you think he should? Because he's like as a senior coach, he's ultimately not responsible, one of the people responsible.
Yeah, I reckon it's unlikely. I think
this probably kills it off, doesn't it?
Yeah, especially so soon after. There's a couple of clubs looking for coaches, as we know. You'd think it's very unlikely that he'd get that role, especially after what's happened. So it's not solely his fault, but he was big part. Like, the coach does have a big say in what happens.
Yeah, he was in the group, infamous group one, so he saw everything that.
So he's with Sydney at the moment. So, it seems like he's happy over there. But unless something, crazy happens, I don't see him being a senior coach.
It's a bit like Hurd, right? Like, I don't see Hurd ever getting a senior coaching gig again. He might be an assistant coach. Different situations, obviously, but.
Yeah, I reckon you never say never. Like, sometimes maybe 3, 4, 5, maybe 10 years down the track, it could happen because time tends to heal. Almost everything. I don't want to bring up the Carey stuff. But, who knows? Like, I heard his name gets thrown around here and there. But, yeah, not in the immediate short-term future anyway.
So I think there's more to play out there, but we'll move on to your boys, the Ruse. Any update on Alistair Clarkson and the pursuit of him?
There's not going to be any breaking news on this pod, but unless you have an inside scoop. They're going slowly, so it sounds like Clarkson, all reports, are getting his team together. It's probably like coaches and off-field staff. The betting's just really tightened up for both jobs. So $1.20 for the Ruse for Clarkson and $1.70 for Uze for GWS. So he's Clarkson's met with both clubs. So yeah, I'm not too sure of all the in the know people. They reckon it's a done deal, but it's.
Are you confident?
I'm probably 75-25 confident. Yeah, but. Yeah, that's sort of partly due to like a couple of in the know sort of whispers on forums and the betting and what the media is like Eddie's saying and what's coming up. But you're never confident until it's
done.
You see him in the poll
at the
press conference. Yeah, like we thought Martin was done, we thought Gaff was almost there, but so we'll wait. In the end, we ended up with Polak, so who knows? We
could
end up with Pike.
And I think Robbo came up with an article yesterday from Herald Sun just saying it won't be Essendon, Port or West Coast. So it's either, I guess, GWS or the Ruse, or he has another year out, right? They're the three options.
Yeah, if he has another year out, that means he's not going to get paid because he's getting paid this year for the Hawthorn.
Correct, yeah.
Yeah, so does he want to get paid next year or not? That's the question, I suppose. Yeah. So,
it looks like he'll coach next year.
He looks like, from media reports saying, even though his management knows, he knows he doesn't have to coach really for the rest of his life. But if he wants to earn a salary, then next year he would have to take a job. Do you want him at Port, or do you reckon you guys are a realistic chance? First, you got to sack Ken Hinckley, which is probably won't happen.
I don't see that happening. I reckon. Look, I think it's more likely than not he's not coaching next season, Ken, based on cautious comments and. The narrative changed a bit. They're not guaranteeing his spot anymore. But I think for football's sake, I hope he goes to the Ruse because they're the worst team for a coach.
If we don't get Clarkson. Oh, you mean you're talking about Clarkson?
I hope he goes to the Ruse for football. Yeah. I think the Ruse need him more than GWS and us.
Yeah.
I think we could easily get away with an untried coach. And same with GWS too. So that's my objective opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And the other talking point this week was Patrick Cripps.
Yeah, just quickly on this. So he got two match ban for jumping and contesting the ball, but he got Calamacci
concussed
and got him high. So I think it was the right call. I think, going by what the precedent is, I reckon he deserves to miss the next two games.
Yeah, it's outcome based. I think the Rioli one from earlier should have been weeks too, but Real played on and I guess the difference here was, Archie got subbed off. So, fair enough. And, ask for Carlton now to win out now.
Yeah, because him and Walsh are essentially like a two-man midfield. So, it'll be interesting to see how they spread the load for the next 2 weeks.
100% interesting watch there. Move on to the game reviews. And Port at 71 was defeated by Richmond 109. Probably the most disappointing loss since the 0-5 start. We've been in, I think, every game except for last weekend until the final, so I'm pushing the good team even though we're not winning. In it till probably half time, and then conceded 7 goals for in the third quarter. So another example of not playing out the four quarters.
Okay, so where was it lost in your opinion?
Yeah, it's a bit like the Collingwood game the previous week. So I conceded goals to Bolton after the quarter time siren in the last 6 seconds of the second quarter. It's a good side, just don't do this. It's a 2-goal swing.
Is it fitness?
I think it's just lapse in concentration. I don't think it's anything to do with fitness. Good teams just don't do it. Like you see the top teams, if you look at junk time goals or red time goals, they'd be high on the list of not conceding them. So, that was the difference that I thought. Lost the territory battle too, so minus 30 contested and minus 18 inside 50s. We did have 21 scoring shots and 44 entries, but yeah, just turning the ball over constantly in the back half, which is an absolute no-no against the Tigers. 84 must be a season high. Chasing tail all night, so 26 tackles more than the Tigers. And the ruck battle, Nank, yeah, absolutely more second game of Teague. Clear 29, 14 contested, 8 clearances and 7 inside 50, so...
Right, okay. Before you got to the tackles stat, I thought you were reviewing a Kangaroos game. back half turnovers.
Yeah. Killer.
Yeah, junk red time goals, what we've been doing. Where else do you think? Any positions in particular?
Yeah, I think selection was wrong. Like Marshall was out with health and safety protocols, and then Georgiadis was dropped after that. He just had to play.
That's just confusing because the whole year, that's confusing.
Yeah.
So Georgiadis didn't play and Marshall was out. So because you struggled to like fit them all in, and now when you don't have anyone,
You let them out. Because Finlayson hasn't been a permanent forward since he's been playing ruck, same as Dixon. So yeah, you needed to play Georgiadis, and it took far too long for Alia to be moved to Lynch. He just, absolutely dominated McKenzie, and he was goalless after Alia got moved on to him. Burton and then Burgoyne after that couldn't negate Shea Bolton, probably the most informed player in the comp, 4-5.
Not many players can. I don't know how to stop Bolton.
Well, I think it's a bit like, he's playing the dusty role, right? So he goes in the clearances, centre square, but then he goes forward. He doesn't go in the back half. So you just got to have a tagger on him. You just got to have a back half tagger on him. Like I think Hibbard's done it on Dusty, so maybe a role like someone's got to do that. Pressure small forwards are lacking in that area. Rioli just ran rampant. Pretty much just ran forward at will and kicked 2 goals. Houston had a missed tackle on Rioli too, and that led to a goal. It's pretty disappointing effort from him as well.
Yeah, like good teams don't miss those tackles. Missed tackles are a killer. Like it just changes the whole sort of game, really.
Yeah, because you expect AFL standard players to stick tackles, when they don't, and they get a handball out, then it just kills the flow. And I thought Cotton had to be suspended too. He tackled Wines and his head got bounced off the turf, even though he played out the match. If we're going to be serious about concussions and head. Cochin just had to be suspended. But
was it cited or anything? Did he get a fine?
No, it wasn't cited. It just adds to the weight that he's a protected species because he played a grand final after knocking out Ward. I know it's going back 5 years, but if it happened now, he would have been gone for 2 or 3 weeks. Missed the grand final.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. Probably because Wines played out the game. Maybe
he gets weeks.
Which is, I understand it, but it's also not ideal. Any positives at all?
Jace Burgoyne again, pretty classy, kicked a good goal, getting more involved up the ground, and Butters backed up his career game, 28 plus 13 contested, 1 goal, 8 tackles, 5 inside 50, 6 score involvements as well, so it lit up the stats.
So he started off pretty well, and then he got injured, didn't he, and then had a slow patch?
Yeah, he's had a couple of injury absences, which has probably prevented him going in the midfield earlier, like Rosie, but I think he's locked in, him and Rosie in the centre square next season.
Mm-hmm.
Go on to your game. North defeated by the Swans.
Yeah, so I was at this game, so it was good to go there with
special guest.
Yes, very special guest. What minute is this? I can tell it or listen.
14:58.
Okay. So it was a good game actually. Like even though we lost by 38 points, same as you guys.
Oh yeah.
We lost by the same margin. But yeah, previously this year our Bell teams have been pretty unwatchable and pretty boring. But this one was actually, even though we lost comprehensively, I thought we were competitive and in the game for until maybe the third halfway through the third quarter. So and we didn't give up. Also, we sort of, even though they sort of looked to have their foot on our throat, we sort of fall back in that last quarter and kicked the last three games goals of the game. Should have been the last four. Goldie missed one just after the siren after a rundown tackle. But yeah, otherwise it was enjoyable.
So how was the midfield battle?
Yeah, not good, I suppose. We lost, it was alright, it was even, but last week we dominated Essendon for clearances, but this week, yeah, we lost by four. We lost a contested possession, so I think we're still inside mid-short in there, so...
Is that just Cunnington?
Cunnington, or if Greenwood had lived up to his sort of hype, or if Will Phillips had played, I reckon it would have been a bit better, so then we could have released Davey Juniak and Simpkin could have maybe played a little bit more outside. And not get banged up every week. Yeah, I think we let ourselves down for maybe 15 minutes throughout the game, and that sort of, and a couple of moments as well. Like Stevenson had a couple of brain fades. One was really funny when he kicked it to Buddy, and he had his back turned for like a few seconds, and Buddy ran in. So, but maybe we'll just quickly talk about him since we're on Stevenson.
Yeah, how did you find his game?
It was actually a good game, so a lot of posters gave him at least a vote. Yeah, some of them did anyway. So I think he had 31 possessions, I mean, and 80% disposal efficiency. So he did, yeah, muck up a few, couple of kicks, but he's generally a pretty good kick. And he just replaced what we lacked, that run from defense, which Aaron Hall gave us. Yeah, and Paul was back this game, but yeah, for the last month or so, Stevenson's been good in that regard. He's new to the back line too, so he's still learning. He's going to make mistakes like that, so but he's getting more involved. I think once the team starts playing better, he can like return back to his natural position, I think.
Yeah, so
I don't see this as a permanent shift for him, because I think he's just too talented and a natural goal kicker to, and they're really hard to find.
Just to gain confidence at the moment.
Yeah, because yeah, you just need to be a good kick to kick the ball from defense to the middle of the ground. But to kick goals, which Stevenson can do, I think his talents are a little bit wasted there.
You think the forward setup's working at the moment?
No, not really. I think we're still trying to find the right balance there. Larky had kick seven, so he was really good, especially when we moved the ball quickly. I still thought we handballed it too much now and then, but the times where we did kick it and get that fast break, I think Larky troubled the McCartan brothers and Rampy as well. But yeah, the forward line, I think Jack Siebel's sort of lost a touch of pace and just goes to ground a bit too easily now. His contract is till next year, but the end's pretty close. Cal Coleman-Jones, he only played 63% game time, which I found a bit interesting.
Yeah, he's playing more forward than...
Probably more ruck. He's probably splitting the ruck time with Goldie and then drifting forward a little bit. But I'd like to see him almost like stay on the ground for as long as you can. Maybe like 85-90% game time. And yeah, be that player to take the pressure of Larky. And we need a small forward to help lock the ball in, because... Yeah, week after week, we're getting really low levels of tackles inside 50. So, just had 5 on the weekend, and I think Sydney had 18. So, need to get that higher. And, yeah, having a pressure small forward might help.
Yeah, a few teams need that at the moment. And who are your other best North players?
Well, Davey Juniak continues to play really well, especially when he breaks a tackle and runs. It's really exciting to watch, so... I think he should take out the Sid Barker medal. Jai Simpkin works hard. Curtis Taylor, even though he made a couple of errors, he's one of the most improved. And even our mid-season recruit, Dawson, was not too bad with 7 intercepts, which I think was the second or third, equal third highest for the ground. So, yeah.
How about the Swans, who impressed you? for them.
I'll probably Chad Warner. I think he's pretty much a star now.
Yeah.
Happened really quickly, overnight almost. So.
Maybe the most improved with DeConning, maybe.
Yeah, I wouldn't. Yeah, maybe, yeah. So he's only like 22 or something, but or 21, I can't remember. But the 3 goals and 2 points, and maybe he should have kicked a couple more as well. He's really dangerous and quick and, yeah, breaks the lines and courageous as well. So yeah, he's got a brother plays for Sydney as well, so you might see the Warner Brothers as I saw.
We got on the... So, I guess the difference to this match compared to the, you know, the 10-game losing streak is you fought back at the end and you were in the game a bit longer.
Yeah, we still, like, leaked a lot of scoring shots. I think they sort of doubled our scoring shots, but a little bit more assured, I reckon, just with what we're doing, because early in the year, we looked a bit confused, but even though we're sort of over-handballing it, well, it still looked a little bit better, and a couple of positional tweaks as well, I think, is helping. So yeah, we'll see what the new coach can do to improve even further.
Clarko, cough, cough.
Hopefully.
Everyone to the game preview. So my boys Port Adelaide taking on Essendon at Marvel. So actually going to this match, hopefully my 11-month-old can last.
First game or second game?
No, first game for you.
For little one?
Little one, yeah.
Oh, okay.
First game, so yeah, he hasn't watched one on the TV with me, but yeah, I don't think he's going to last 2.5 hours, but we'll find out.
Could be like Port Adelaide or Essendon.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think he might last longer than Port, where we're going. Team changes, yeah, few on my list. So I think Marshall and Georgiades come in. Sam Hayes again should be playing number one ruck for the rest of the season. There's nothing to lose there. Ollie Lord comes in as the key back. Josh Sinn, first round draft, he has to play. And Fantasia, you've got to give him a run just to see if his body's up to it.
That's too many young players you definitely lose if you're going to bring.
What's that?
It's too many young players to come in.
To come in?
Yeah.
Who are the young players? So,
like Lord, Sinn have played a handful of games. Hayes has
played seven, yeah.
Yeah, just and Georgiades is still like a second or third year player.
He's not in finals though.
Yeah, I know, but it's still like, I feel like the balance is a little bit. But anyway, yeah. And Fantasia, is he ready to come back?
He's off the injury list, and I think it's got a bit like Charlie Kerner, where he got those couple of matches at the end of last season. You have that, then you have your pre-season, and then, you know, you got a bit of confidence. So he has to play this week or next.
Well, yeah, you might as well throw the magnets around a bit, so who knows, you could be right.
Oh, I don't think we're going to make 6 changes. These are just mine.
So
out, I'd go Teagle out, McEntee, McKenzie, Amon again. I don't know why he's playing. He's not playing for us next season. Bonner. No matter, Ice Rosie too. I know he's being cleared with the strapping, but
you can almost make a rhyme out of all your surnames.
Well, he's our best player. Got strapping in the knee. Yeah. Like any other team in finals would just say, you're the next 2 weeks off. So I don't see what he's going to gain from the next 2 rounds. Maybe more coaches' votes, which is not really a team thing. So I think Finlayson still stays in the backup ruck role. Got to try someone at key back. We can't get Brennan Cox or Ben McKay's being talked about this week. I don't think it's likely.
Brennan Cox is from South Australia.
I think the Crows are hard after him. So I think McKay might be our first pick, but we'll have to see.
No, he's contracted. He's going to be.
Oh, no. I don't think it's likely. I think Brennan Cox is more likely. I think he's out of contract. And they got need room to bring in Luke Jackson if they are. Must win out too, because got to finish above Crows with the showdown next week. That'll just be the ultimate kick to the groin. And yeah, need to give continuity to Marshall, Dixon and Georgiades. Just have to play all three together like we did last season. Cleary, I'd have the big job. Cleary's actually out for 2 weeks. So I'd give Lord the job on Peter Wright. Leah as a backup, and I'd have Jonas on Stringer up forward and maybe Bergman on him in the middle. I think they're probably the two keys for the Don, Stringer and Wright.
Mm-hmm. Are you confident about this? Because they had a loss last week, Essendon, so I think GWS got a hold of them.
I'm not confident the way we're playing. It seemed like last week the players checked out a bit, which you couldn't say has happened all year. So, yeah, I am nervous. Wouldn't be surprised if the Dons win. But, yeah, the start is going to be crucial.
Yeah,
see if we're up to it.
Essendon sort of pick up these meaningless wins towards the end of the year. So it's going to be definitely a hard game. So you will have can't take them lightly.
And the Roos, they got the Crows in Adelaide.
Yeah, it's always tough travelling to Adelaide. Well, it has been for a number of years. Because both teams have been pretty decent. So Cunnington's back, so I didn't think he'd play because he had bad body soreness or something. Yeah. But he's back, so that's pretty much a good news story and a win in itself.
Probably the best news along with Doherty's return this season, right?
Yeah, both definitely, yeah. Through. So Doherty's, they texted like weekly, I think Cunnington was saying. So had 18 touches on in the VFL and yeah. With his trademark clearance work and handballing was, on show to see. So not really happy for him. Happy for the family, and as supporters, we just get to enjoy him do his thing. So definitely be tuning in for that one. And Thomas played another good game, 20 touches. I bumped into him. Did I write that down?
In the city.
We went to this place after the game.
Okay.
Just this plaza, like shopping center.
Yeah.
He looked like Chris Brown because his dyed hair. He dyed his hair recently, and then walked and they got closer and then realized it was Thomas. So I
you
said,
asking?
"Yeah, no, I said, oh, hey Thomas or something." Yeah, and then I
hey Karen.
No, I called him Thomas actually. Thomas. Yeah. and asked. I said, "Hopefully you'll be back next week," and he said. He'll see. If not this week, then the last round he'll aim for. So he gave an honest answer. So that sort of led me to believe that he might not be ready just yet. Yeah. But never know. So he seems to be playing pretty well. So would love to see him back, and we definitely need his class out there.
And record at the LA was not great, is it?
I don't think we have been there since 2003 over there. Oh, in Adelaide.
It would have been Amy Stadium.
Yeah, not in Adelaide level. And the Crows are on, I think, a 2 or 3 game winning streak. So they're in some good form. Fogarty's playing well. So we'll have to... And Walker. But they both killed us last time in Tassie. So, Mackay's back for this game. And, hopefully... I wouldn't give Core a job on a key forward. I'll play him on the third tour.
So who goes to, Mackay would go to Walker?
Yeah,
or...
probably go, Mackay and Walker.
And then Dawson on Fogarty?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do that and see how it goes. Yeah. I'll drop Josh Walker. He was laid in for Mackay last week. But him and Jack Table might, ideally like them to drop the captain, but not sure if that'll happen. And Charlie Combin had a really good game. 7 marks, 3 goals, and 2 or 3 goals and a few points.
I guess the
forward
will
ruck.
Be the support for Larky.
Yeah.
Ultimately.
If he comes on and gets over his injuries.
Yeah.
He'd also be the perfect ruck forward. So you have Jones, CJ, or Cherry in the ruck long term, one of them, and then Combin would chop him out. So there's a little bit of a dog's breakfast that. Ruck forward role at the moment. Goldie's still playing some great footy, so hopefully he gets a contract extension for at least a year, so he's still contributing significantly. I think that's about it for this game for our preview. How long we've been going for?
And Clarko as well, did he?
He saw our game. He was at the.
He was there live.
The coaches are in the copper box apparently.
Okay.
Yeah,
I think that's 75%. Yeah, took about 80 for me.
Yeah. but I don't know. Maybe he's watching Buddy Franklin.
he has gone to watch the Swans. No, not the Swans. I don't think he's been in the GWS game. Well, not that we know of anyway.
Yeah.
Going to the draft watch because it's draft season for our teams anyway. You got a couple of players you want to talk about?
Yeah, just keep your eye on a couple of these players. So Oliver Holland is a brother of Rising Star Norman. Actually, yeah. People keep going on how we overlooked McDonald, but I think Elijah Hollins was the other one that was sort of up there, who was touted to go at our pick or
ACL in his draft year or
big
injury.
Correct. So he didn't play last year, and he played. He's played the last few games with the Gold Coast Suns, and he's doing really well. His younger brother is a little bit of a different player. 180, 4 centimeter midfielder. He was born in January, so he does have like a few months more development than some of the other boys. But he's got a really good step. So he can move through traffic pretty well and racks up a lot of the ball. He was best of field in the Vic Country game against Western Australia, where he had 34 touches, 7 marks, and 4 clearances. Just a running machine, elite kick. So these sort of players are in demand in today's game with the press and a lot of running. So if you can play the flank or the wings, I reckon he would be a good fit for the Roos. Obviously any club, really, you need a lot of mids and wingers. So he looks good.
And you got a Crows NGA prospect next.
Yeah, Isaac Keeler, so from South Australia.
He's not a Crows NGA prospect.
He is.
But will he get to the...
No, he won't. He won't get to it because of the rules. They changed them.
Is that since Jugelhagen?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so if this was a couple of years ago, then yeah, he would have. But if he went... Yeah, he would have. But like from this year... If you get the bid inside 40, you can't match it.
Yeah.
So...
That's fairer.
Yeah, it's fairer, but it sort of makes the purpose of NGAs a little bit redundant. Because whoever you get after 40, they might not be worth it or not be as good. But it's a 198-centimeter forward ruck. Like Paddy Ryder mold, I read.
Okay.
Haven't seen him play, but yeah, he sounds interesting and has the tools to be a good forward ruck. And he's got one of the highest ceilings apparently, so sounds like an exciting prospect, which even you guys might be interested in, like.
Yeah, we do need, I mean, especially if Hayes requests a trade, might need a
homegrown talent, yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
And he's very versatile and athletic as well, in averaging almost 17 disposals and 114 ranking points in the sand for under-18s.
Racking it up. Go into the tipping. I think you were 10 ahead of me last week, and you would have extended. I only got 4, so I think you're more than 10 ahead. To you,
I'm not on top anymore. I think Ainsley's on top. Okay. So.
Easy Crow supporter.
Yeah,
bastard. Move on to round 21. Round kicks off. St Kilda hosting the Lions at Marvel. I've got the Lions. They're not at the MCG, so I think they'll get this done.
Yeah, Lions for me as well. I think they're sort of in a little bit of form at the moment, so their small forward line hopefully hits the scoreboard.
Yeah, Cameron and Bailey are dominating. Saturday, Bulldogs hosting GWS at Marvel. I've got the Dogs, just too much to play for. I think Jugelhagen's due for another few goals as well.
Dogs as well. If they want to make finals, the next two games are must wins, obviously.
Darcy was really impressive too on debut. A few intercept marks. Crows hosting North Melbourne at Adelaide Oval. My head says the Crows, heart says the Roos. I'll go the Crows. I think Fogarty and Tex are probably in better form than they were when they kicked bags on you guys earlier.
Yeah, I reckon because it's in Adelaide, you can't go past Adelaide, even though the Cunnington factor gives us a bit of a emotional boost. So, but that might have to wait another week for the Gold Coast game at home. So, Adelaide.
Gold Coast hosting Geelong at Metricon. Can't tip against Geelong. I think they've won 11 straight now and just absolutely dominating at the moment.
Yeah, premiership favourites for a reason. So, yeah, look for Geelong to take care of the Suns.
Melbourne playing Carlton at the MCG. I've got Melbourne. No Cripps, no Shera, not Shera, Kennedy and Hewitt. So the Melbourne are just way too strong in the midfield.
Yeah, they're losing a lot of big inside hard-end footballers for the next couple of weeks. I reckon Melbourne will win and Carlton supporters will get nervous.
I think Collingwood in the last round too. So it looks like it might be for a final spot. The WA Derby Saturday night, I've got Frio. I think Brayshaw might just lock up the Brownlow this round too.
Yeah, Frio too. I think Eagles, they're going to be emotionally and after Kennedy, yeah.
Sunday, Richmond hosting Hawthorn at the G. I've got Richmond. Noah Cumling, talking about NGA prospects before. I think Brisbane turned him down. He's kicked, I think, 13 in the last 5 weeks. So, yeah, one of the ones that did work out.
Yeah, he doesn't get a lot of the ball, but he makes his, makes the most of his opportunities. So, yeah, I reckon Richmond, but only just. I reckon Hawthorn play well against them, and they drew last year.
Yeah,
last game.
Bergeron's last game with Clark. Sydney hosting Collingwood at the SCG. Finally, I think Collingwood will get the 11-match streak broken. For your boy Warner. Might be a smoky, actually, for the Brown. I don't think they win their first year, though.
I don't know. This is a tough game. So, Collingwood, they generally travel pretty well.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And
they travel 3 times a year, but yeah, they travel well.
Yeah.
All 3 times.
Yeah, so I don't know. This one could be the game to pick Collingwood, but I think I'll go Swans as well. They were in pretty good form. They were pretty quick at moving the ball from defence to forward. So
yeah, 6 straight, yeah. And close around Essendon hosting Port at Marvel. I've got Port, and hopefully, yeah, lock in the best place finish of an SA team before the showdown.
I'd probably lean towards Essendon just because it's here, and yeah, Essendon have nothing to play for, so yeah, they'll just get, so neither do you guys, but I think Essendon will just do enough.
It's gonna be a nervous round, so yeah, we'll catch you guys next week with the last terminal round to go.
Yes, last one, so we won't have a preview,
yeah.
So just a review.
Yeah, West Coast still 6% above you two, so I think we're set.
For what?
For the number one draft pick.
But what if we win and West Coast don't win?
This week or next
week? No, next week. Oof. We play Gold Coast, and I think West Coast have a harder game, don't they? number one pick's not going to be as important this year because there's no Jason Horne-Francis or like that top player. It's pretty even after Ashcroft, I think, and he's already nominated. So.
Line, yeah.
And
yeah, Eagles are playing Geelong at GMHBA. So yeah, you're right. This week, this week was the one that counts. Oh, next week as well.
From a West Coast point of view, anyway. Yeah.
So, okay, we'll catch you guys next week.
See ya.